Today I'm excited. Today is what we like to call a standalone message. We're not really in a series right now. We're just kind of speaking what God has kind of laid on our hearts as a teaching team to teach. And something that I felt when I was praying and asking the Lord, like, what do you want me to teach on? What do you want us to you know, kind of break your word open? And he kind of gave me this idea of speaking on prayer. Can I speak on prayer today? Is that good with everybody? Anybody a sauce person? Like, you everything you eat has to have a sauce to it, like dipping something into something or on your sandwiches. It can't be dry, right? Like gravy people. Where are the gravy people at that you're so excited for gravy this week? Well, I didn't know this, but obviously, and I'm not toot my horn, I'm more of a Chick-fil-A Culver's type of guy. I'm not a big McDonald's type person. Kudos to those of you that love McDonald's. But apparently, the Big Mac has a secret special sauce to it that really nobody knows what it is. And so as I was researching it, and people are like attracted to this special sauce, like you get a Big Mac because it has special sauce. And when I looked at it, it's not, they say special sauce, but it's a secret. Nobody from the McDonald's Corporation has ever let the secret out of what this special sauce is. So, but everybody likes it. Everybody enjoys it. Everybody goes there to have this Big Mac with this special secret sauce. And really all it is Thousand Island dressing with a couple extra pickles in it. But today I want to talk about that prayer. And our Christian life is our special secret sauce. The disciples, we forget this about the disciples. I know the disciples kind of get this rap, like they were just this ragtag bunch of boys that didn't really have a clue. But we forget that they were 15, 16, 17 years old. And when I was 15, 16, and 17, I had no business walking with the Lord like that. When I was that age, I didn't have a clue. And so when they ask, you know, questions to Jesus, they're like, how do they not know that? Like, come on, they're walking with Jesus. I'm like, when I was 15 years old, I wasn't worrying about that. I was worrying about when the next video game was coming out. Like, I was worried about, you know, practice and sports and all that stuff with that. I wasn't really worried about that kind of stuff. And they're walking with Jesus, and they have a question for Jesus. They're like, Lord, how come you can do miracles and we can't? You know, Jesus would go out and they'd follow him and they'd see Jesus doing these miracles and impacting these people. And they're like, you know, we do the same thing he does. We walk the same paths. We see the same people, but yet he gets all the credit. He's doing all the stuff. Like, what is going on? And then one day, I think they finally realize it. They see Jesus wake up, and they see him walk out and begin to pray. And spending time with his Father, praying, and then Jesus comes back in, and then they go out, and they start doing miracles, and they see Jesus doing this miraculous stuff. And then I think it hits them. That is the secret. That's the secret sauce right there. When he prays, miracles happen. When he goes off and spends time with his Father, miracles and life change begins to happen. And so they kind of have that light bulb moment that they kind of connect the dots. Prayer leads to miracles. Prayer leads to life change. Prayer leads to unity with the Father. And so they figure it out and they decode the secret sauce. And today I want to encourage us that we will begin to enjoy our own secret sauce. And here's what I want to say right off the bat. You are one prayer away from God. Just one. I think so often in our lives when we feel like our prayer life is lacking, or we're not as close to the Father or the Holy Spirit as we'd like to be, we think, well, I got to read more scripture, well, I got to start serving more in church. I got to start being more nice to people in the name of Jesus, right? And all those things are good things. All those things are necessary things. But I think what we forget is God doesn't go anywhere. We do. God doesn't drift away from us. We drift away from him. And how we change that is praying. Because prayer, we are one prayer away from God. And today is a sermon about prayer with prayers. And so I'm going to break down some prayers that we find in the Bible that we can recite, that we can enjoy, that we can get motivated on. And so the first kind of ingredient, if you will, about our secret sauce is this. It's scripture. It's scripture. And here's what I'll say about that. Here's what I want to encourage you with. One of the best ways to pray is to pray with your Bibles open. Pray with your Bibles open. Joshua is this young guy. In the Bible, he's young. I think he was 60 years old when this was taking place. And in the Bible, when they were living to 500, 600, 700 years, that's pretty young. That's like an infant. And so Joshua has just got told he is going to take over for Moses. And that's a big deal back. That was a big deal. Like Moses is, you know who Moses is. Like Moses is the guy in the Old Testament. And now Joshua has to take over because Moses is now dead. And here's a prayer that was spoken to Joshua. It said, "Be strong and very courageous." This is the Lord talking to him. "Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may be successful wherever you go." These are direct quotes from the book of Deuteronomy. So he's quoting scripture to Joshua. And he says, "Keep this book of the law," meaning the Bible, "always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Pray with your Bibles open. One of the best ways I'm praying right now is I'm trying to read a chapter of the Bible before I go into my prayer. Just one. I'm not trying to overload it with scripture. I'm not trying to undercoat it with scripture. Just one chapter every day. And then I take a piece of that chapter and I just begin to pray it over my wife, my kids, my situation, right? I'm just praying a scripture over it. And the Lord was just telling Joshua, "Hey, you want to be strong and courageous? You want to do this thing? Then meditate on the law. Meditate on the word. The word is always satisfying. The word always tastes sweet and good." How many of you are gravy people and sauce people? But there's another one. I think it's a sauce. I think we can characterize this as a sauce. Honey. Anybody like honey? The Clyer family that I married into loves honey. It might even be borderline obsession. Like, they take the jar out, and, you know, you would just take a knife and spread honey on it. They, like, dump honey on the piece of bread. Look what it says in Psalm 119 regarding honey. "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." His word always tastes good. So if we want to get our prayer life motivated again, if we want it to change a little bit, if we want to be encouraged a little bit more to pray, read the Bible and pray scriptures over yourself, your situation, your kids. They're loaded with such amazing pieces of scripture that we can pray over our lives. It's like an open book test. Man, I need something to pray, but I don't know what to pray. Scripture. And it's going to be sweet. It's going to be sweeter than any type of honey to your mouth. The second thing is, what will happen is we'll begin to get audacious faith. Audacious faith. And this happened with Joshua. Again, the Lord said to Joshua, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to them. And so Joshua does that, and but he doesn't just stay like that. He takes it and he receives that prayer and he begins to walk in that prayer. And then something happens in Joshua chapter 10 where he's leading an army and he's in the middle of a war and he looks up, and just like every day, it happens every day, he looks up and the sun is starting to set, and he knows that if that sun sets, then he dies. And he says this loud, audacious prayer for everyone to hear me. Lord, let your sun stand still. And guess what happens? It does. Because the scripture and the prayer, that took root inside of him. And it grew into this audacious faith. When we begin to allow prayer and scripture to take root in our lives, what's going to come out is scripture. What's going to come out is audacious faith. And that's the good thing. You're one prayer away from audacious faith. You're one prayer away from uniting yourself with God. I found this story about John Wesley crossing the Atlantic Ocean. And a storm started happening. The boat started like getting filled with water. And one of the crew watched John Wesley pray this prayer. And he said, Almighty and everlasting God, thou hast sway everywhere, and all things serve the purpose of thy will. Thou holdest the winds in thy fists and sittest upon the Lord floods and something old English, a king forever. Command these winds and these waves that they obey thee and take us speedily and safely to the haven whithever we would go. And after he said that prayer, he stood up from his knees, took his book, and continued to read. And the storm ceased. It stopped. He had audacious faith. I think he was more annoyed that he had to stop reading than anything. But he did. Hebrews 4 says this, let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. In some translations, it says, let us then approach God's throne with boldness. Boldness. Boldness is basically saying this, I don't have a backup plan. You're the only one that can get this done. If you don't get it done, it doesn't happen. But that is how audacious faith is. That's saying, Lord, you are the miracle worker. I am praying to the miracle worker, not for the miracle. Because I think so often we can pray for a miracle without praising the miracle worker first. And we need to do that. Because if we don't, we're subjected to sometimes taking the credit, when really it's all about God. Will you be bold about your prayer? We need to show God what this prayer means to us. Because here's the thing, nobody can pray for you. We can pray over you. You can ask us to pray for you. But when it comes down to it, nobody can pray for you. Nobody can unite you with God. You have to do that for you. We can show you, we can pray over you, but we can't take you and make you do that. You have to decide to do that. God wants to see what it means to you. James 4 says, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call to the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Let them pray. Let them call upon the name of the Lord. You encourage, but I need to see it from them. What does it mean to you? It will produce audacious faith. The next thing is prayer unites us. Unites us with the Holy Spirit, with God, with Jesus. Again, no matter how life is going, you are one prayer away from uniting with God. Even when we're not on our best behavior, even when we haven't prayed in a long time, even when we don't feel even worthy of such a prayer, when we just have no right to even be praying, we have no right to even be asking God to do something on our behalf based on our lifestyle, you are still one prayer away from uniting with God. Scripture will prove that to us in Jonah chapter 2. We learned from Joshua, now we're going to learn from Jonah. See, Jonah was a prophet. So what a prophet was basically, he was a pro-Christian. He was on the Lord's team. He was a professional Christian. He would hear from God what to say and how to say it and who to say it to, and it was his job to go out and say it. That's what a prophet does. It's basically taking all the sermon prep out of the sermon. He's like, here's the sermon, here's the verse, and I'll just go out and say it. That would make our job as teaching pastors a lot easier. Right? That was a joke. Nobody laughed. Sun Prairie laughed at that joke when I said that earlier. Maybe you guys need to go spend some time with Sun Prairie. They think I'm funny over there. But, man, I thought that was going to sell. I really did. Anyway, so Jonah is a prophet. He's a professional Christian. He's a professional man. And so God gives him a word to go, hey, go speak this to Nineveh. And Jonah was like, no. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm not going to do that. And he actually runs away, tries to play hide and seek with the Lord, and doesn't happen. So the Lord just follows him. Again, the Lord doesn't go anywhere. We do. He's always there. And so Jonah finds himself, after running and lying away from God, inside the belly of a fish. And we all know this story. And what's he do when he gets to literally the bottom of the belly of the fish? He prays. Jonah chapter 2, verse 1. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'm just going to paraphrase. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help. And what did the Lord do? Ignore him? Make him sit in silence to learn his lesson? No. He said, you listened to my cry. Even when we are in trouble, even when we have some self-imposed issues, the Lord is still right there, and one prayer will unite us back with him. The worst thing to do when we find ourselves in these situations is not to pray. The best thing to do is to pray. I was watching Forrest Gump the other day. Great movie. Probably the best Tom Hanks film he's ever done. And a quote really resonated with me. He's sitting by his mailbox, you know, the famous scene. He's just sitting there, and he's got his son next to him. It's the end of the movie, and the bus pulls up, and his son's about to get on the bus to go to school. And he said, I just wanted to tell you that I love you, and I'll be right here when you get back. I think in a lot of ways, God says that to us every single day. I love you, and I'll be right here when you decide to come back to me. If that's 15 minutes and we're going to spend more time together, that's great. I love you, I'll be right here. If that's 2 days from now, I love you, I'll be right here when you get back. Jonah was far from God. He ran away from him. He didn't want to do what he asked him. And he prayed, and God kind of said that, I love you, I'm right here. I'll always be right here. Prayer unites us with God. The next thing about prayer is we have to look at our calendar. Our calendar. You know, Jesus had a calendar when it came to his prayer life. He had a certain time. Jesus would pray in the morning. We see that in Scripture that he prayed in the morning before he went out and did his ministry. For him, it worked in the morning. For me, it works in the morning as long as my kids sleep past. It's great if they sleep past 5, but sometimes it's not. But for me, it's in the morning. For my wife, it's usually at nighttime before we go to sleep. I don't know what it is for you, but we have to put prayer in our calendar. We can't just hope that we have fine time. You have time for what you have time for, what you choose to have time for. So you have to, what time works for you? That's what you have to ask yourself. When am I most engaged when it comes to prayer? Not just sort of, I'm kind of just squeaking it. But again, 1 hour prayer, 2 minute prayer, it's all works. It's all good. Look at your calendar. Have a certain time. Have a certain place. Try to have a certain place. Jesus had a certain place. Wherever he was, he would kind of walk down a path further away from the disciples. He didn't want to be bothered by the disciples. It's kind of like kids. You don't want to be bothered by your kids. Just leave me alone. I'm trying to pray. Pray for you, actually. Have a certain place. Some of you know those stories of people that just had this one certain place that they prayed, and you remember watching them praying there. Find a certain place. And then have a certain plan. Have a certain plan. When Jesus taught the disciples how to pray, he gave them a prayer outline. And we can find that in Scripture. It's called the Lord's Prayer. You can find that and use that as a guideline. Some of us like to journal when we pray. And that's how I like to pray. I like to journal my prayers. Some of us like to sing our prayers. Some of us like to just audibly voice our prayers. It doesn't matter how prayer gets done. What matters is that prayer gets done. Because you're one prayer away from uniting with God. Isn't that, can we let that sink in a little bit? The God who created the universe, we can talk to him. Sometimes we have a favorite book and we're like, man, if I could just sit with the author of this book and pick their brain a little bit about what they were thinking when they were writing this certain character or quote or whatever, that'd be really great. You have access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that created you and the world anytime you want. Have a certain time, have a certain place, and have a certain plan. This is your plan. Stop looking at other people's plan. Saying, man, I wish I was more spiritual like them. I wish I could pray like them. I wish I could be more, you know, have a better prayer life like them. Whatever's working for them, whatever's working for them might not work for you. So we have to understand that. It's what works for you. And the last thing is this, and I'm going to close down. This prayer encourages us. Prayer encourages us. You feel encouraged when you pray. I'm sure all of us know that. You feel good when you pray. Like you feel good when you come out of a time in prayer because you can't spend time with God and not feel something. You just can't leave it. Man, I didn't get anything out of that. Even conviction encourages you. Why would you ever say that? Conviction does not feel like encouragement. Yes, it does. Because when you feel conviction, it means that you're following the Lord's desires and you just got off track a little bit. And he desires you to come back in. Conviction can and should encourage us. Prayer encourages us. I want to read a prayer, and it's going to set the stage for the rest of our time. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. It says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mothers had him, Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain, which I think all mothers would say that about their babies. And Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. That's a loaded prayer. Again, that's another prayer that we find in the Old Testament. We've seen prayers from Joshua, Jonah, and Jabez. And we've learned from Jesus. All J's, by the way, and Pastor Jared. There's another one. That's five. See? I didn't say that at Sun Prairie. I wonder if they would have left more. Oh, I appreciate it. But praying encourages us. You see, Jabez said, oh, that you would bless me. Here's what we all have to get to the, every one of us individually. Wherever you're at in life, whatever you're going through right now, you are worthy to be blessed by the Lord. We are all worthy of blessing. And Jabez said, oh, that you would bless me. How often do we pray that? Lord, that you would bless me with something. Even if it's your presence, even if it's a word of knowledge, that you would do that for me. So often we're going to God with what's wrong with me, what's wrong with my life, what's going on, and what do I need? Try asking the Lord to just bless you. Lord, bless me. Give me something. Whatever it is, I know, I want to know that it's from you. Lord, bless me. And then he says this, and enlarge my territory. Now, in the correct context, that just looks like he wants more property to build more houses. That's not what he's asking for. He's asking, Lord, enlarge my heart. Why does he want his heart to be enlarged? So that he can receive more love in order to pass on more love to people. See, Jabez was probably going through, he's like, man, I want to love some more people, but I'm having an issue with being, so please enlarge my heart so I can go out and love more people. I want to love more people. I want to be a better son to you. I want to be a better example for you. So would you please bless me and then enlarge my heart so I can go out and love more people. And I love this. Let your hand be with me. He's saying, Lord, I don't want to be alone. Ever. It's interesting. All of these prayers that we have gone through together today all have the same issue. Joshua, be strong and courageous. I am with you. Jonah, I am with you. Even in the bottom of the belly of the fish. Jabez, let your hand be with me. Why? Because prayer unites us with the Father. Like, I just look at it like this. They want to hold the hand of God and do what God is calling them to do, but they don't want to do it alone because they know something. Again, another part of the secret sauce is they can't do it apart from God. We can't love people like God loves people without holding the hand of God. We can't do miracles on behalf of God without having a relationship with God. We can't walk and have patience and kindness and joy and love and mercy all the days of our life without holding the hand of God. Basically, we can't do it without him. We can try, but it's not going to work. We might do some some great things. But without the Lord, it's not blessed. We need the hand of God. Why? Keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. All of these guys, these heroes of the faith, all wanted to hold the hand of God, to be with them so that they would keep them safe. We are never more safe than when we're in the presence of God. He is with us and he is for us and he is not against us. And Jabez just lands it all together in this prayer. Did you know that this book of Chronicles is basically just a genealogy? It's just person after person after person after person after person after person after person. And then it gets to Jabez and it's like, wait. Something separated Jabez from everybody else on this list. And it's that prayer right there. In our lives, we can either have name, or your family can say, let me tell you about that one. This person was a person of prayer. This person got miracles. This person got what they wanted. This person lived a life on fire for God. And how we knew that? Because this person was a person of prayer. This person understood and knew the ingredients to the secret sauce of how Jesus did it, and they adapted it, and they ran with it. And prayer encourages us. Amen. Amen. Let's pray this morning. Jesus, we love you. We thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much, Lord, that you are here with us in this moment, Lord, that your word inspires us, Father, that the prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective. So, Lord, as everyone is listening today, Father, encourage us so that we can strengthen our prayer life or start a prayer life or be motivated by prayer. Because, Lord, prayer unites us with you. And prayer is special to you. You want to know what's on our hearts. You want to know what we need and want. You're drawn to it. You're drawn to us. And we are so thankful for your scriptures. We're so thankful for the example set before us in the Bible about Joshua and Jonah and Jabez. And so, Lord, we thank you for encouraging us today. And here's what I want to do. If you want to receive from the Lord today, I just want you to put your hands out like you're going to receive something. If you need to receive salvation, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart and you say, Lord, I need you and want you, he is faithful to make himself available to you. If you need encouragement in your prayer life, if you need finances, if you need just healing and you need to receive something from the Lord, hold your hands out as an act of faith that you're going to receive it today. Jesus, you see all the hands. Holy Spirit, you see all the needs. I ask that you will make yourself available and that by faith you will fill these hands. You will fill these needs in the name of Jesus. There will be no doubt that the Lord provided. There will be no doubt that you get all the credit. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.